We're live.
I'm the co-founder of Foo Plugins, makers of the Foo Box and Foo Gallery plugins, and the soon-to-be-released FooMedia.io service. I've worked for others as a paperboy, a blueberry farmer, Ritz-Carlton valet, tour guide, maker of office furniture, and an Amazon employee. But there's nothing more rewarding and absolutely terrifying as working for yourself and those that depend on you. And if you believe in yourself and keep your end goal in mind every day, there's nothing you can't accomplish. Visualize and realize, and most of all, don't panic. I'm Adam Warner, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Trey Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
That's right. It is time for another episode of Everyone's America's, the world's favorite podcast about none other than WordPress, the Dradcast. Mr. Dre Armada, how is
we're
it
back
going?
With number 52, Bradford. 52, right. Brother. This is crazy. 52. Out of control. I'm losing my mind over this. I can't believe we made it over five. Awesome.
Oh, man. It is amazing. And it looks like you are in a bit of a different location. What are you moving around over there?
I am. So I've moved the office upstairs, and it's not ideal yet. I've got, stuff all over the place, so the camera angle's a little funny. I've got some sunlight coming in directly on the head. Not awesome, but good enough, and definitely was not going to stop the show today.
Absolutely not. So with that, we have a really amazing host today. Really excited. We've got to get right into it. Mr. Fu Manchu, the Kung Fu, riding to Wong Fu, the Foo Fighter, Mr. Adam Warner. Adam, what's up, man?
Hey, Brad. Nice to see you, Dre. You too, and thanks for such a welcoming intro. Appreciate it. Glad to be here, guys.
Glad to have you. How have you been, man? Haven't seen you quite a while.
I've been well. I've been busy and knee-deep in fatherhood and foo work, so all is good.
He's doing this crazy thing, Dre, called work. I don't know. Probably haven't heard of it because you're like on a vacation, but we get up and do stuff and be productive and...
I missed the grind. I might have to change sometime soon. This vacation thing is getting a little old.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So before we get into it, we got a really fun interview lined up. Let's find out what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Mr. Adam, we'll let you go first. I saw you drinking on something over there. What do you got today?
Well, today I've got the cool and refreshing Mug root beer, caffeine-free.
All right.
With lots of ice.
Beer with a splash of root.
Mm-hmm.
Always a classic, always a favorite. Dre, what are you hydrating with over there?
Wait for it. Oh, man. We're going to have Stella in a can today. How about that?
That wasn't even a sound effect.
You like that? It was outstanding. Wow, so I'm actually having a beer with you today there, Brad. I'm flying out early tomorrow morning, so I'm not training tonight. So salut.
Yeah, I hate to be that guy. I'm not drinking a beer tonight. You're drinking by yourself, buddy. I'm actually going to Atlantic City right after this for my mother-in-law's birthday party, so probably best not to drink before I get on the road, especially with the roads being wet. So.
Probably a good call. Good call. Well, salut anyway.
For me. I'll have one for you later.
Enjoy the show. Enjoy the show.
You.
Absolutely, that's hilarious. We can never get synced up with.
We can. It's not happening.
We're getting old. We're getting old. So, so let's dive right in, Adam. We got a lot to talk about, man. You got a lot of things going on. Before we get into all the stuff you're kind of doing now, which is obviously very exciting, we like to always kind of start back with how you got into this. You know, how did you end up where you're at now? And everybody has a really unique and interesting story. So let's kind of start at the beginning. How did you really just get involved in the web from the start?
Well, it's been a long and arduous road. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I built my first website just out of curiosity. I think it was a GeoCities site. If you can call that building your own site, and then I went to learning HTML. I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur with little side businesses here and there. And in 2004, I was running a memorial video service for funeral homes and built a website for that. And at the time, I was looking to more easily update the video content that I had. Video was pretty new on the web. So I started looking for platforms, open source solutions and stuff, and after trying a lot, that's how I came across WordPress. So it was shortly after it became WordPress that I started toying with it. And it's always been something that I just did on the side here and there. I've worked regular jobs, like I said in the intro, all kinds of regular jobs before working full-time on the internet probably 2006, I think, is when I went mostly full-time web work for various companies, and then always had an inclination to create my own products and get into the business side instead of freelancing, and lo and behold, that culminated in the creation of Foo, finally.
Foo.
And there we have it, so...
Foo, foo, foo. Okay, so let's talk about the name.
Bottom, there we go.
I want to talk about the name a bit. Let's go back a bit. Foo's been used in development lingo for a long time. Is that? I mean, I'm assuming it has some air to that. What was the thinking behind the name Foo?
Well, if I can, cut me off if I go too long here, but probably should talk Fire about away, how turn. I met. All right, I should probably talk about how I met my business partner Brad Vincent. He Let's runs Theme Emergency. I was doing freelance work, working for in the corporate world, running WordPress multi-site for a HVAC company, and I was working with Gravity Forms, and I needed some customization done. So I was on the Gravity Forms forums, asking some questions, trying to hack together some code because I tried to create my own themes, I tried to create my own plugins, and through the years, writing tutorial sites and things, I learned that I wasn't a developer and I wasn't a designer. I was more of what Tom McFarlane recently coined an implementer. I knew where the tools were and I knew how to put them together and make them work. When it came to customizations, that's where I needed help. So I posted on the forums. A guy with the username Brad Vin replied. We went back and forth. I said, can I just hire you to create a custom plugin for this? He said, yeah. We continued the conversation, and I learned that he had some premium plugins already out there on Code Canyon, and I'd had some video courses, some ebooks, those sorts of things. So we joined forces, and we actually, I think Brad was very wary of me because I was in the Warrior Forum world, and he wasn't a big fan of that, and he had a product called FooBar that already existed on Code Canyon. So that's the term Foo actually came from Brad. He was the one that named his product with that word. So I had this idea to create a lightbox with a social sharing layer. He had already had a lightbox created. So we combined the two, decided to make a product. The term FooBox got thrown around. We said, let's do it. And that was the beginning of our partnership. It was a test. It was a trial to see how we treated each other, how I could market the product, how I could bring the community to it, and see how well it sold. And that eventually turned into Foo Plugins.
I love it. That's a great story. Let's step back from the business side or the branding side for a second. During that whole time frame, you're cultivating this great relationship with a guy that's doing already some pretty cool development work, some branding to it. He's got some movement, it seems. You're learning a lot. You're able to bring some cool stuff to the table. But before you guys make the decision to take the plunge, where are you at? What are you doing? What is going on at that time? I know for me, when I made the move to go full-time in my own venture, I had a couple other things going on, right? I had a full-time job. I had Cubic 2. We were doing various things, and then we decided to focus and really put our efforts into one specific project. What were you doing? Where were you at when you made that decision? I I think we did. Did we lose audio there?
Well, I was working for that HVAC company I mentioned. I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I lost you for a second. Brad seems to have frozen up. Okay. Okay, so I was working for that HVAC company. They were North American, U.S., Canada. We had 10 sites total on a multi-site installation, residential, commercial, all kinds of stuff. So I was working full-time and full-time in WordPress every day. At the same time, I was creating my video courses that were specific to WordPress. I started with how to use WordPress, and then that kind of got diluted. I couldn't keep up with all the changes, being a one-man show. I did ebooks on how to use specific plugins, that sort of thing. So I was knee-deep in full-time work. As well, and that we could create a product together, market it, and sell it. That went on for about 8 months before we decided to create a full marketplace, which then became Food Plugins, which we launched at WordCamp Miami in 2013. So it was really doing a lot of stuff at the same time.
Forgive me, I'm getting a little bit of lag here, so I may be missing some of the conversation there. And you know, while you're already working in the industry, you're working for a pretty big company. You have this new venture you're starting up. At what point do you make the decision to move on? I mean, what does it take to say, hey, look, it's time for us to step out and really take the bull by the horns?
Well, I guess I was probably fortunate in my case, as I was kind of forced. The company that I worked for closed the office in my town, and I had to make the decision whether I was going to continue in the corporate world and go wherever that took me, or if I was going to jump headfirst into this business and try and make it work. At the same time, when my employment ended, when I made that decision to not look for something else and to go full-time, it was a month before our first son was born. So it was really, really scary. And it still is really, really scary, not having something to fall back on and depend on. So to answer your question, it was a bit forced, but the timing seemed to work out to allow me to dedicate the time to the company and to build the brand and to build the community awareness of who Foo was, and for us to even do that launch at WordCamp and get all the marketing materials and spend that time, you know, shaking hands and doing all that. So it was fate, destiny, chance. Who knows?
I think often it's better be lucky than good, I'll tell you that. I know in my instance, that's how it got me through. You know, but it does. It takes a little bit of chance, a little bit of luck, a lot of hard work, a lot of elbow grease. And it looks like whether the decision was something that you made or were kind of thrown into, it certainly has moved into a really good spot for you guys.
Yeah, sorry, Dre, go ahead.
No, go ahead, brother.
No. Okay. I'd love to hear, like, the decision to kind of go into a plug-in marketplace. There aren't a lot of plug-in kind of sites that are selling a lot of different, you know, plugins built by that particular, you know, company or website. It's you see some sites that are kind of selling other people's products, trying to be like this, you know, like the WP App Store was one that tried to do that, didn't work out. But you don't see a lot where it's kind of like you're building products, you're releasing them, you're selling them all through your marketplace. How's that gone so far? Because I feel like it is, like I said, it is still kind of a niche right there. I think it's a much needed area. I'd like to see a lot more of these. But how's it been in the last, what, year and a half now?
Yeah, it's been good. And you know, to tell you the truth, when we first had the idea for a marketplace, our idea was to be a Code Canyon, but be a more specific and I guess vetted version of Code Canyon, right? So we would only want vendors on our marketplace that we pre-approved. We looked at their code, made sure it was good to go. We decided that the product was something that we wanted to list on our marketplace, and that's how we approached when we first launched. If you guys recall, we had Better WP Security on there. Chris Weigman was gracious enough to let us list his free plugin and then sell support ticket services because that was a pain point that Chris was having at the time. How to monetize a plugin with over 1 million downloads. And he gave us the chance to help him do that. And that went very well for a long time until it turned into iTheme Security, which is great for Chris, and we're super, super happy for him. And we do still have some vendor plugins, but we changed our focus probably about 6 months ago, just because there's a lot of overhead with getting vendors on board. We never really got that process tightened up the way we wanted, so we focused more on creating our own additional products. And the last several months, well, in fact, I guess it was probably January or February, we decided that 2014 would be the year of media with Foo plugins. So because Foobox has been so successful, we've done the product pretty well. It's super, it's feature-rich. So that's when we branched out into more media-specific tools like Foo Gallery that we just launched. And so we've got some other cool stuff coming up this year, too. But we had to pull back and be agile with what we were doing, what we were creating, how we were monetizing. Because to tell you the truth, and you guys are in this world too, there's so many great ideas out there. There's so many things you could do, but there's just not enough time in the day. You really have to narrow down and focus and decide, you know, what's the best method to go for. So that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, you mentioned the Foo Gallery, which is your most recent release, which is really cool, by the way. You should check it out. And it's actually for free, so I'm curious. You have quite a few plugins that are free. What's the approach there? So you release a plugin for free. Are you looking to go premium at some point or have kind of an upgrade path, or is that something that might stay free as long as you support it?
Yeah, well, part of that was because Brad had a lot of pre-existing plugins on the repo, and part of that is by design. So as an interesting example, Foobox was released premium. There was no free version until just recently. So it was out there for more than a year with just a premium version. There was no free version. So we decided to release a free version of Foobox, which has been really successful since April. We've had, I think we're up to about 45,000 downloads now on the repo, which is great. But we're using that, like many other people do, as a freemium model, right? So we're using that as a marketing channel, but also creating and a solution for people that's free, and it does what it says out of the box, and it's solid, and it's there's tons of people using it that haven't had a need for the premium.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, we've got a frozen Adam here. I'll tell you, it's certainly an interesting model, and
upgrades why we decided.
You're back. We lost you.
Say again, Dre?
Yeah, we've lost you a couple times there, so we were just going to fill the dead air there, but you can go ahead.
Oh, okay. I don't know where I got cut off, but so Foo Gallery is free on the repo right from the get-go, and the reason for that is not really it's a marketing decision, but it's not really powered by money. It's powered by the dissatisfaction we felt with other gallery plugins out there. There are some great gallery plugins out there. I'm not going to disparage any of them, but they didn't work for what our team wanted to see and needed in a gallery plugin. So we released Foo Gallery with the angle, with the difference, that Foo Gallery is built to be extensible by developers and designers from the get-go. It's got tons of hooks and filters built in. There's a really cool extension portion where you can build your own extensions. We've even got an extension boilerplate generator, so you can click a button, put in a few details like the name and etc., and it'll spit out an example plugin for you to add your own code and tweak and add your own extensions. So we're excited about the future of Foo Gallery, and we will have a lot of free extensions available, and also some premium extensions.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think just with in our own experience with a lot of our past hosts, a lot of, like you said, different developers kind of doing the freemium model, it seems to work really well in the WordPress community. I think it's just an open source community in general. I think it's a good model that a lot of very successful companies are using, including your own. So it's great to see you having a lot of success around that. It's great for your users because, like you said, there's a free product, and if they get to the point where they need the paid version, they have a way to give you some money. Foobox is awesome. In my opinion, it's probably your mainstay there, right? That's the one that most people know you for. But having a kind of responsive Lightbox is great. We generally just tell people don't do that because Lightboxes suck on mobile, right? But how does something like Foobox can help fix that issue? So what's the future hold for Foo plugins? I know you just released Foo Gallery. What else you got going on? Anything you want to drop? Any kind of hints you want to, you know, let the drad world know what we can expect?
Well, I hinted at it in our in the intro. Oh, you're still talking. I've got a bit of a lag. All right. So I hinted at it again in my monologue. I mentioned foomedia.io. There's not a whole lot of information there, but it is part of our year of media for Foo, and it will be a service-based product. And I can't go into too much detail yet, but I can guarantee that it's going to help streamline a process that any blogger with WordPress has been using for a long time, and it's going to help speed things up a lot. So we're really excited about that. It's going to be a really cool tool, a really cool suite of tools.
Very cool. And anyone that wants to check that out can visit foomedia.io. You have a nice sign-up form to stay informed when you release that, or if you have any kind of a beta or anything like that, they can check out those services. So that's so interesting that you mentioned that, and I think the first thing that comes to my mind is you're going from selling physical product service, right? That had to be a big decision to make because it's going away from what you know is working and trying something a little bit different. Dre, I know we were joking before the show that, you know, what did we say, recurring revenue is your middle name. So what was the thought process? Kind of not necessarily shift focus, but try to go into almost a different, business model per se, or income model around the service.
Well, you know, we don't have any plans to stop doing what we're doing with our plugins. Absolutely not. In fact, quite the opposite. It was just that this particular product lent itself more to being a service than anything else. So we were guided by the product itself, but of course, recurring revenue is the way to go if you want to have a sustainable business. So we're excited that we'll have the two hand in hand. And I just wanted to go back for a second about the freemium model. What I like best about that model too for any plugin provider, developer, is that it really gives you a chance to prove yourself to people, right? So if you have a plugin on the repo and it's solid and it works and you provide good support, you're building your reputation. You know, you're building confidence. So that's the part of the freemium model that I really like. Of course, with being in the open source community, that's part of the whole concept anyway. So
you know, I can get it to a certain extent. So I will differ on opinion there slightly. I think that for me, when I put out a product, I want people testing and using it that have a vested interest. People that that put in a voice because they've invested in what we're doing there, and I think that empowers them to help us build it together. Wherein you tend to see a different or maybe a splintered audience when you're looking at a freemium model, and there just isn't that vested interest there, right? So although you might get numbers, you might not get the same amount of valuable feedback during beta testing or during the early stages around that service. So so certainly a small difference in our approach, but I think that I've seen some good successes with not the same amount of noise that you get from free customers, But I think equally successful when even if you put a small price point to it, there is a barrier to entry, so you're going to weed out some of those folks that are just in there trying to get stuff for free and aren't really going to provide value back to you in helping build that product into something that services everybody.
Right, so, right.
Just a thought.
And that's been a struggle with having a premium product or and even free products is that we've had to really work hard at mitigating where we're spending our time in support, right? So for a repo plugin, we say the support is only on the repo or through GitHub, and especially through GitHub if you want to get involved and start putting in issues because that really helps us make a better product.
Certainly.
For a paid product, that's what you're paying for. You know, you're paying for updates and you're paying for support. So, you know, and we've done a lot of things that we've tried things that have worked and we've tried things that just don't work with support and trying to streamline that. But that's a never-ending battle in any business, I think.
You know, and you probably see some overlap in the audience between both the free and the premium stuff, but do you see differences in the audience there? I mean, do the support questions seem to differ a bit or the expectation around the type of support that they're getting? Do you see differences between both sides of the house?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's fair to say. When we released Foobox Free, we were tracking all of our conversions that came from upsells within the plugin or mm-hmm. from the repo description. And so we know that we are making sales directly related to the free version of Foobox. And we have seen support tickets that come in that are a little less detailed, less advanced, less technical than someone who would have already just gone straight for the premium, like a developer that says, okay, I'm having trouble with this, and these are the steps I've tried, and blah, 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 and provide us with all the information so we can help them quickly. We're seeing a lot more of general support questions, and sometimes even WordPress help questions related to purchases that came from the free plugin, which is fine, but that's why we've had to kind of stick and move a little bit with our support and put a little line there that says, okay, we'll support up to this, but when you start asking questions about how to install a plugin or you know, how to change basic settings in WordPress that aren't related to our plugin, we have to have a hard line there where we direct people to other resources. You know, we're sure. sending people to WP Beginner or WP University.
Well, even the forums, yeah, right? The WordPress.org forums help with a lot of those kind of just WordPress basic or you know, entry-level type questions. In terms of your support model, can we talk about that a little bit? Because we've had a few different organizations and folks that do service around products, and I think that we've seen varied successes with different approaches. I'd love to hear a little bit about how you guys tackle that. Do you guys use specific technologies or their processes in place that you put to handle specific questions? What does that kind of look like, even at a high level?
Sure, yeah, I can share some of that for sure, and hopefully other people that have products will find this helpful. When we first started selling Foobox, we had a support ticket system. I think we were using Fresh Desk, it was called. So it was your basic support ticket system, right? It had all kinds of bells and whistles that we didn't really use. We just got a support ticket, we answered it, the queue would fill up with thousands of questions here and there, but once we got more serious and created the marketplace, what we use now is every product has its own support form. So we have our license key generation. That's a custom plugin that Brad built, and the form is a Gravity form. They're required to put in their license key so we know it's a valid license, so we do some checks on that. They're required to put in the URL of the site they're problem with, so we can go right there and duplicate what they're seeing. They're required, of course, a name and email, that sort of stuff, and that gets fed to Help Scout mailboxes.
Help Scout, so, okay.
So Help Scout helps Matt Cromwell. He's our solutions manager. He manages all of the support and sets all that up, and Help Scout's awesome. It's a really nice tool. You can, you know, assign tickets to other people like you can, I guess, with others. But that's the process that we've found works, is we are requiring specific information that helps make our support faster and easier to do. And then we also use, we use a program called QSNIPS, which it has its own database. And it's basically a note-taking program. And we have a database on Dropbox, and we all share that. So any recurring tickets that we have, we put little code snippets in there. We put replies in there. So if we get a lot of the same replies, we can just open up QSNIPS and go, okay, like an example would be, how do I detach my license from this domain and move it to this domain? Well, you can do that right in the back end of your Foo Plugins account, but we have a QSNIP that we just copy and paste and throw into a reply. So there's, as we've moved forward, we've learned some shortcuts and how to mitigate the time spent.
Absolutely.
Providing support.
And that's a big deal. I mean, you can have the most amazing products and services in the world, but if you're not cutting the mustard when it comes to your support and your support team, it can certainly drive sales down. It can lose you a lot of customers, and it's just not fun.
Well, yeah, and in fact, when Brad and I started, it was he and I that were doing support, and then we started getting really technical tickets, and I was the support lead, and I couldn't answer him, so I kept assigning them him. Well, what happens when a developer is providing support in all his off hours? Nothing gets developed. Nothing gets fixed. You know, it's, so we had to branch out and streamline that process and get someone qualified to run that for us.
That's a good question coming from the chat room. Jeffro just asked, and I know that in the past when I've implemented support systems, we've had canned responses, automated responses. They were editable because we don't want to give the same person the same damn response every time they fill out a ticket. So we certainly used it as a starting point for any tickets. But do you guys use automated responses? To Jeffro's take is that some folks hate those except for when they are somehow targeted. So what's your take on using automated responses in the support queue?
Well, the only automated response we have at this time is, thanks for your ticket, we've received it, and we're going to get back to you shortly.
Okay, so the initial response.
I hate those.
just to let that person know that it was successful, that we have received it. We have talked about creating more of an automated response flow by detecting keywords in some of the text fields of the forms and triggering different notifications through Gravity Forms and that sort of stuff, but we just haven't gotten there. And I should mention, too, part of support is having really good documentation. That has, once we focused on that, we always had documentation, but that's a constant battle, too, is keeping up with changes and things. But once we really focused on that, that lessened the amount of tickets that we had. So
yeah, we've used in the past automated responses that we've created for specific instances using, you know, certain keywords and such to respond back. But they're very generic, and it's more on those initial response types things. Hey, we'll get back to you. We always would supply some type of more personal approach. And in those personal responses, we'd have canned responses that we would build off of. So, you know, there's just the same content or resource or link and stuff that you use for specific problems. There's no point in reinventing the wheel. Certainly there is value in providing some type of personal discussion with anybody that you're dealing with, especially in a support situation where they're in a vulnerable spot. That goes the extra mile in terms of your credibility and the support that you're offering those folks. So, Good thing to consider down the road. I love the discussion, love what I'm hearing, I love what's coming out of the food camp. I'm excited for the future. But in short, let's push on to the near future with this week's Pressing Topics.
Word. Pressing Topics of the Week.
I love where we kind of went there. We were talking a bit about some models. We talked a bit about my position being that I prefer to have a low barrier to entry with some type of cash or monetary donation, if you will, for someone trying my products or services. You talked about how the freemium model's working for you. Yeah, give me my money. Freemium seems to be working well for you guys. And out of the VaultPress Automatic Camp, They're thinking that might work for them too. With the latest out of the VaultPress camp is they're offering or beginning to offer a 5-day free trial through Jetpack. Now, Volpress has been around for a while. The beginning days, people were kind of going, wait a second, this is really expensive. You're talking some pretty expensive prices for some backup services. They've mutated that initial offering, have some security services and stuff. They've added some new models to that, so now they have our pricing packages. So they have some variated pricing that may hit more markets than they did initially. But now they're offering free trials. What's your guys' take on where they're heading with this? Why are they doing that now?
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine, but I'd like it.
I think there's to onboard more users, right? As soon as someone sees something's free, yeah, why not? I'll click that button. I mean, a good majority of self-hosted WordPress websites have Jetpack installed at this point, right? So that pops up, and they see, oh, I can try this service for free. It's 5 days, see if I like it. I might give it a shot. I mean, 5 days is a little bit short, but they're going to get a lot of people to sign up for this. Now, whether that turns into conversions or not, who knows? So it's yet to be seen.
That's my problem with it. That's great that they're getting a click-through rate of people going, yes, let's start the free trial, but that doesn't mean crap. In fact, it ruins your statistics if they don't complete the end of that funnel, right? But if they're not converting, you're onboarding, you're actually adding more work.
It's a good point, but I think what's the more interesting story about this that I get is that they are now kind of making it much easier to sign up for their paid services through Jetpack, which WordPress has always kind of been there, but it wasn't as easy as, oh, click here and you can activate a free account. Here you go. Like they're really trying to get this easy, and I think it's kind of going to be an entryway to a lot more of kind of these premium services.
Now we're talking. Yeah. I couldn't agree more, right? Because now they have that capability built into one of their premier services that's inside of Jetpack, that's in millions of websites. What other product comes into Jetpack now, and with a click of a couple buttons, you're squared away and signed up?
Yep. Well, it's like an in-app purchase service,
exactly.
Right?
So,
that's a good point, Brad. It really is a short path to paid. If they do that, so I guess it does make sense.
Yeah, other services. I can see VideoPress popping up in here. You know, that's one I know through WordPress.com. Oh, yeah. You can pay for additional amount of space to host all your videos through VideoPress.
Right.
That could pop up in here. Host all your media on on VideoPress. For a small monthly fee. I think it opens the doors to a lot of things, and a lot of that probably has to do with money, right? So I think this is the tip of the iceberg.
We need some DradPress, man. We need to be able to be able
one
to
click, and you can send us money. We will shut up if you send us money. We'll stop talking in your dashboard.
That sounds pretty convenient.
Yeah, until you send us cash, we will not shut up. And so there you go.
24-hour DradCast, unless you send us money.
Please send us money.
As the potential maybe test bed for what's to come in Jetpack and monetizing directly from the dashboard in app upgrades, if you will, I love the concept. The strategy there is sound. I think they're going to kill it heading that route. And I think that they're really leading the way there. There's not too many folks using creative in-app registration and purchases yet. I think that we're going to continue to see that grow. Go ahead, Adam.
That was WP App Store's model, right?
To an extent. I think it was,
right, but
it was pressed off a little bit.
It never got the wide adoption of installing the App Store to actually see that stuff, whereas Jetpack's installed in a million-plus sites. It's been downloaded a few million times.
Well, the value's there, right? You've got 20 other things that are free on there right now, so it's not that big of a hindrance for me to go, okay, I want to install that because there's other stuff in there that makes sense. So now it's already there. That again, that's a barrier entry that the App Store ran into. It's like, well, shit, I got to install this whole thing just to start looking at stuff. That's that to me is a tough sell
for
the masses in any event.
It's a lot easier. Yep. This is exciting. I think a year from now, we'll see a lot of paid services inside of Jetpack. This is just the tip of it. So they have the user base. Now they can start exploring with things like this.
So I think it creates a roadmap for other people trying to do the same thing in a way that doesn't make them look a little funny by adding it into the repository, right? We're not running into any crazy GPL problems or issues like that. And you're letting automatic kind of pave the way there, so I can see this becoming an adopted model for a lot of different organizations trying to push products this way. I think it's a model that's going to be successful, and I think it's a model that a lot of people are going to make a lot of money on.
Yeah, probably. I think it'll be interesting to see how it pans out.
I mean, imagine I could see plugins like some. Well, your plugin, Adam, you talk about the free plugin, kind of the gateway, the freemium model. What if there's a one-click, hey, upgrade to premium for free for a week, see if you like it. If you do, we'll start charging you, you know, or whatever. Like, make it super easy for them to upgrade versus going to your site and have to download it. And I don't, to be fair, I don't know your total upgrade process. Maybe it is easier, but imagine if it was one or two clicks and they had it installed and were able to pay you money.
Well, you know, if you look at Foo Gallery and you look at the extensions tab, we've got extensions listed there, and whether your extension is hosted on GitHub or the repo or on your own site, there's the process for downloading and activating it. We've tried to make it as one click as possible. I think it actually is two clicks. But the idea there is that if people start creating extensions that are premium, that we would like to work in some kind of in plugin purchase system as well, but we haven't quite figured that out. So we're kind of halfway there, I guess, if you think about it. Yeah,
it's almost like apps on a phone, right? Like you see an app in the App Store or Google Play, and you're like, oh, you know, you literally just touch a button if you want it, and you confirm it and say, yeah, I want it, and then it downloads it, and you just paid them money. Like, you make it so easy that people just impulsively do it. Maybe on things that they haven't totally thought through, they just buy it, right? And they're like, oh, maybe they use it, maybe they don't, but they've given you the money at that point. So,
yeah.
We're going to see a lot more, for sure. The Jetpack's definitely leading the way, but we're going to see a lot more of this across all plugins, I think.
Yeah, yep. I think so. We're also going to see a lot more awesome discussion around the next release of WordPress, which 4.0 is coming soon, and Beta 2. It's Beta 2. Are you guys playing around with Beta 2? What's going on with Beta 2?
Well, I'd like to hear Adam's take on... Well, we mentioned Beta 1 last week. Between Beta 1 and 2, it's, you know, it's not that exciting. Yeah. But it is closer, right? So I'd just like to hear Adam's take on WordPress 4.0 in general. Have you played with it? Are you excited about it? What's the feature that stands out to you?
Well, I have, and it may not be the most exciting feature for a lot of people, but my favorite is the grid view for the media library, and that's just because it's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time on how to view and search through media. So, really, that's my biggest excitement for 4.0, because we're planning on integrating that into Foo Gallery as well.
The year of media. I'm sensing a trend here. makes sense, though. I think any attention to the media in WordPress is good, right? Because it's kind of been neglected a bit. Other than the big revamp of the media uploader, the media and the editor, the media library, it's all been somewhat neglected in the past, you know, 10 releases or so. So any focus on that, in my opinion, is very, very good.
Yeah, it's good. It's getting some love in the last few releases. I'm a big fan of that.
What's somewhat related? I'd be curious to hear about your testing process against new versions of WordPress and your products and your various plugins. At what point do you wait for RC? Are you already kind of doing some soft tests against the betas?
No, we run Bleeding Edge against a lot of our stuff, mostly our most popular stuff like Foobox and Foo Gallery. So we're constantly right on the edge there, and things change all the time. It's a little dangerous to do that. And with 4.0, the plugin activation stuff is changing a bit, so that has got us on our toes with the way we're activating extensions in Foo Gallery, that sort of thing. So it's a constant battle to keep up, but in my mind, and I don't want to toot my own horn, but honk honk, we pay attention to that kind of stuff. You know, that's the difference between a quality provider and one that doesn't pay attention and kind of comes to those solutions after people start complaining. So we want to be proactive about that kind of stuff because it's better for business. It's tough, but it's what you have to do.
Very cool. Yeah, it's definitely here. It's good to hear you're being proactive about that. You're right. It's That is what separates the legit businesses from the ones that maybe aren't as legit. And they get that big backlash of user and support requests when everything breaks on a new version of WordPress because they weren't paying attention to maybe one little change they needed to make or account for. But in theory, if you build your code, your plugins the right way, it shouldn't necessarily break. It should just maybe not, you know, maybe missing out on some features that are available to it.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of times, you know, it's a one- or a two-person show, some of these premium mm-hmm. products, which are great. And people work full-time jobs and do this on the side, and so I get it. You know, I get why sometimes people can't keep up. But if we want to build Foo plugins into what we envision it to be, ultimately, that's the kind of things we have to pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about acquisitions. Dre, I think we need an acquisition sound effect at this point, because at this point, I feel like every show there's some kind of acquisition that we're mentioning.
Shoop.
I'm gonna make sucking sound.
Shoop. That's what we need.
Oh man,
that's exactly
down what the shoot.
Do the. Yeah, there we go. So acquisitions. So Church Themes has actually been acquired by Lyft. If you're familiar with Lyft, it's ran by Chris Wallace, Brad Miller over there. Great guys. They do some really amazing work. They're also the owners and founders of Up Themes. However, they've recently released a new theme focused on churches. So the theme is specifically for a church. Now, Church Themes apparently was up for sale, looking for a buyer. It sounds like it was a perfect fit for Lyft to pursue, and they have. So they've actually purchased Church Themes. They've got some talent out of it as well, some new developers, which is pretty exciting. So. What's your take on this, guys? We're going to start seeing a lot more kind of people getting out of certain spaces, getting into new spaces, trying to merge and grow? Or
I think you're going to see exactly what you're seeing here. You're going to see some of the old school heavier hitters or more successful theme companies start to acquire some of these niche theme companies and plugin companies and such. I think we've seen these types of situations in the past, Church Themes being one that's targeting churches. We've seen Happy Tables, another company that they've targeted. They've done a great job targeting restaurants, but you've seen some of these niche theme organizations and shops. I think it's challenging on their own, being that they're so segmented and such. In terms of scalability, it's very challenging, I think, especially starting out in that area. When you have an organization like UpThemes or the folks behind UpThemes who've been successful over a spectrum of niches, now you start bringing in these things and it makes more sense. So I think you're going to see a lot of folks maybe stemming up, but maybe being bought up, gobbled up. I think you're going to see a lot of existing companies, theme companies, creating some of these subset type of niche targeted theme sites. That's my take.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think you've really said it all. And I think it's obviously it's beneficial for both businesses, right? Because the little guys get the support that they need. They get the backbone that they need in order to grow. The big guys all of a sudden have a brand new market that's somewhat already taken care of, and so they can laser focus in all these different spots and still support the growth of these individual businesses at the same time. Yeah, I think it's we're just going to see more of that. That's the way the WordPress business-o-sphere has gone.
We're in a community of geeks. Acquisitions and we're a community of geeks, and quite frankly, not all of them are going to be happy with having to run business and doing all the overhead crap. Sure. I mean, it's just the reality of it. They're creative, really intelligent folks creating some really kick-ass products that's serving a need for a lot of people, a lot of value there. But in turn, when someone could come in and help them with all that back-end crap they don't want to have to deal with, dude, it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, in a market that's completely saturated,
hey, I can theme market.
We got some lag going on. Sorry. In a market that's saturated like the theme market is, I mean, it only makes sense to kind of go after these niche verticals, right? So it's, I mean, if you're just out there selling premium themes at this point, if you don't really have a name or a brand to really stand out from the pack, right? So, but coming out with these very niche specific themes, it'll be much easier to stand out from the pack because the marketing message is much more laser focused on exactly who your audience is, not just anyone that runs WordPress. It's anyone that runs WordPress for a church or for a restaurant. Absolutely. You know, so it makes the message much clearer. So,
this is the way. WordPress.com has done it themselves, right? They've had some target niche areas that they've hit. I mean, it's not new. It's been done in other markets, other products. it just makes sense, and I think we'll continue to see it from a lot of the big boys gobbling up some of these guys that are a little bit smaller, maybe not so interested on the business side, that have done the product side really well. So that is what it is, and heck, so is this show. We're reaching close to the end here, so I want to move into our Bartrix.
Bartrix.
Let me show you a bar trick.
Booyah, booyah. Let me run through mine real quick, because I got real bar tricks today. They're more like life hacks than anything, because I don't really have anything technical or geeky to talk about. First thing, we all have mobile phones. This is a great tip that came to me here recently. I've been using it, and it works really well. My battery, especially when we're talking about going to a conference, like I will be at WordCamp Milwaukee this week and speaking at 10:30 on Saturday. Ooh, shameless plug. I'm going to be using my battery, and there's going to be about 150 other people using their mobile phones trying to get texts and so on. Your battery drains really fast. So a quick way and a quick tip for you to get your battery life as fast as possible is put your phone into airplane mode when you go to charge it. It actually charges almost twice as fast. You'll recover your battery quicker, and you'll be making those phone calls and closing deals and all that fun stuff. Second one that I have, which I think is hilarious. Ever been in an elevator, especially at a big damn hotel, and you had this little knucklehead kid that gets on and off before you and has pressed every button in the elevator, and now you have to go to every floor before you get off the damn elevator? It's so annoying. Here's a little trick that's going to save you a lot of agony, and you're going to look super kick-ass when there's a bunch of people in the elevator. Before going to the next floor, and if there's 10 floors in between you that you don't need to go on, press the same button for that floor two more times, and it'll turn off, and you won't have to hit that floor. You can do that to all those floors all the way down.
I've never heard that.
You save everybody time, and you might get yourself a cold beverage.
Next time I'm in a hotel elevator, I'm going to try that. It better work.
Maybe you could collect a buck from everybody first and say,
I'm telling you,
tell me what floor you want to stop at, and I'll make it happen.
That's a good one. What you got over there, Adam?
My bar trick is a plugin. It's called Caldera Forms. It's on the repo at wordpress.org/plugins/Caldera-forms. It's a form builder. It's a grid-based responsive forms. It has a drag-and-drop layout builder, which I love. I love Gravity Forms. We use it all the time. Caldera Forms is something that speaks to me as a non-designer, non-developer. I need things to lay out the way I want them without getting too deep. And this has a really nice way of doing that. You can put in a row. You can split those rows into as many columns as you want. You can put your elements, your input fields, wherever you need to. It's pretty slick. It's pretty new on the repo. It's got about 700 downloads now, but I would suggest you check it out because it's super handy.
Very cool. Yeah. That's neat. I haven't heard of it. It's very early on, but honestly, as new it is, it seems pretty feature rich. I mean, the fact that you can drag it around, just looking at the screenshots, I haven't actually used it, but this looks pretty slick. It's on GitHub as well, so you can get involved if you want.
Yeah.
Very good cool. Stuff. All right, so I'm going to do a quick double bar trick. I'm just going to do a shout out, one quick shout out for Dre. You mentioned Milwaukee, the WordCamp, the WebDev Studios team will be there. We actually have six of our team members are going to be there, including Lisa awesome. Saban Wilson, one of the
partners,
Brad Parves, Greg Rickaby, Stacy Cavermo, Sarah Presser, and Melissa Hope will all be in attendance. Some of them are speaking, some of them are heckling. All of them are hanging out and having a great time. So definitely go up if you see anyone from WebDev Studios, say hi. They love WordPress, they love the community, they want to talk to you, they want to meet you. So definitely check that out. But my actual bar trick I'm going to rehash an old one. And for good reason. So I created a while back, I started up a subreddit called Pro WordPress. I enjoy the WordPress subreddit. What I wasn't enjoying is a lot of kind of very beginner level topics and conversations, which is fine. And that's where it's going to be. It's going to be in WordPress. But I want to start a little bit smaller, more focused subreddit around more advanced topics. So I created one called Pro WordPress. So if you just go to reddit.com/pro-wordpress. It's a great little subreddit. We have 970 subscribers, so we're getting very close to 1,000. And there's some really great topics. If you're a designer or a developer, if you're looking for a little more advanced, and I'm not talking about work crazy over the top, over your head type of stuff, but just more advanced articles around developing, around designing, around things you can do on the server, around how you can contribute better, stuff like that. Check it out. Love to have you subscribe. Love to have you contribute. Get involved. It's a nice little community we're building there. So that's love. My bar trick.
Love, love, love. One last shout out I want to give before we close out the show, because it's just something we talked about here recently. I participated last year, and it's Saeed over at WP Beginner. What they've done over the last 2 years with one, giveaways, but more importantly, the donations that they have collected and to put towards building schools in areas that that are less fortunate. Last year they did one school. This year he set out to build and raise enough money to build two schools, and sure as hell he hit it. So they are now pushing the funds over to build two brand new schools.
It's awesome.
In Guatemala, and I got gooseies right now. They crushed it. They nailed their total that they were looking for, and they have funded two brand new schools to be built. So, you know, this is stemming obviously for the love of people and mankind that Saeed is putting out here. He's teamed up with a lot of very responsible organizations that were willing to help out. A lot of people volunteered their time, effort, and money to get involved with this, and really, it all stems around people that have met and work together with WordPress. So that's the open source community reaching out to other portions of the world and helping educate people that just don't have the opportunity to do it on their own. So damn it, Saeed, you got me all teared up and like emotional over here. Pretty kick-ass thing that you just did. That's there.
Awesome.
And I'm very proud to call you a friend. Awesome. So
yep. Really great. Whew,
that's just badass. So we got a lot of upcoming events. Like I said, I'm flying out tomorrow at 06:30 and heading towards Milwaukee. Really excited to be at WordCamp Milwaukee. I'm hoping that the Web Dev Studios folks come with a bunch of drink tickets, because I'm coming thirsty weekend. WordCamp New York coming up August 2nd and the 3rd.
Oh, yeah, I will be there. Brad
speaking. There's going to be a lot of amazing folks on deck. You got to go check it out. About a week and a half after that, 2 weeks after that, on the 15th and 7th through the 17th, you've got WordCamp Grand Rapids. I will be in the house. I'm trying to encourage Brad to get over there so I can give him a rear naked choke, baby. I'm going to hook his ass up. So I hope he gets on a flight and meets me over there. We'll have a couple beers, maybe some dread action.
Grand Rapids is a beautiful city.
I'm looking forward to it. I've never been there. I've never been on the east side of the lake there, so I'm excited to go check it out. Same weekend, you got WordCamp Omaha. A lot of folks heading to that. And then a couple weeks beyond that, WordCamp Los Angeles. I haven't been the last couple years for prior engagements. I will be on hand as well. So it looks like I will be there Friday through Sunday. There's going to be some business events and discussions going on that I may be a part of. So tune in. You should come if you're on the West Coast. If you're not, fly on in and hook it up. September 27th through the 29th, we got WordCamp Europe. We went last year. Brad and I hung out. It was amazing. I'm sure it's going to be just as good, if not better. The crowd is phenomenal. Talk about WordPress and open source evangelists. It's sick. You're going to have a blast if you end up going, so check it out if you have the opportunity. Lastly, I know we've missed a bunch. WordCamp.org is the place to go check out other WordCamps in your neck of the woods or not that you may want to visit. But the economics of WordPress, Pressnomics 3, third year. It's been an amazing event. The last two is January 22nd to the 24th. I'm a little up on it because I've been coined the godfather of Pressnomics, and I'm actually the first speaker announced this year, so I'm excited to be there. You should come join me on stage, or at least at the venue, as I tell my story and talk a little bit about how even a knucklehead from Southern California can make it if they try hard enough. Adam, now that I can breathe, it's been a damn pleasure. Where can folks find you, brother? What's the best place for people to get a hold of you?
Well, they can get a hold of me at foodplugins.com, foodmedia.io, or adamwwarner.com, or WPModder on Twitter.
I love it. WPModder on Twitter.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Oh, man, it's been a true pleasure. Bradford.
Thanks for coming.
What's going on, big baby?
Sir, you can track me down on Twitter. I'm usually hanging out there. WilliamsBA.
You know, I've been hiding on vacation. I'm unemployed. I should find a job. Before I do that, say hello to me on Twitter, at DreMeta. King Fu, plug in the mic and let's talk awesomeness with Adam Warner. And that's exactly what we just did. From paperboy to tour guide, things change. So do people and situations. Hard work and the love of something can drive you to success, along with a bit of luck, of course. It's okay to be scared to execute, but in the end, don't let fright leave your ideas just ideas. If you're the guy that's scared of getting water up your nose when you jump in the pool, hey, just plug your nose, but continue running towards the edge of the pool. Adjust and execute, and ultimately, enjoy the water. For the Rad and Drad, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 52 with Adam Warner. We're out, baby. Booyah!
Thanks, guys.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drad.